Thank you so much for joining us as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We begin, as we always do, beginning in the name of our triune God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have sent your Son, who took on flesh, who dwelt among us, and is our Lord and Savior. Pray that every day we remember this true gift that you have given us and live reflecting that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this evening comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one that I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Our message scripture reading for today comes from the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope." This is what God the Lord says, the creator of all the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas Eve is one of my favorite services as a pastor. And the reason why is because I have the best seat in the house. Specifically, what I mean is at one moment, every Christmas Eve that I've ever led that worship service for, there's that moment of the candlelight. That moment when everything goes dark except for maybe the ambiance of certain lights. And one by one, lights extend out. The last parish that I served before coming here, the worship space was maybe 1/6 of this size. Definitely not quite so high, nowhere near as wide or as deep. And with the 60 people that came into that space, each holding a candlelight, the entire room was lit up, and you could see everybody's faces. And it's beautiful. And I love it. And it's this image of light that I'm wanting to reflect upon this evening. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless. It was void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the first problem that God chooses to address is the darkness as he calls forth and says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. In fact, all throughout the Bible, you have a prevailing metaphor, a depth of understanding of who is God and what does he do for those who bear his image. How does he relate to these people and to all of his creation? And much of it communicates this understanding of darkness and light. And we see that right here in John's gospel. Echoing a bit of the beginning of Genesis, he says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him," that is the Word, "was not anything made that has been made. In him," that is the Word, "was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, understood it." There's been a short little series of the Christmas Nativity this December that mostly Pastor Bob has been leading meditation on. The first was on the shepherds, and then he reflected on the characters of Mary and Joseph, and then there was the wise men. And now, of course, we have Jesus, the main character. Now, you all know the Christmas story, I imagine. How it was the case that Mary gets an unlikely visitor, a heavenly messenger, an angel who comes to her and says, "Hey, you're pregnant." And understandably, she's like, "What? How can this be? This makes no sense." Because you know that, how it is that one might come to be pregnant hasn't taken place. So, you want to explain that to me? And the angel says, "This is from God." Understandably, Joseph, when he hears about how his betrothed is pregnant, is also quite confused. And God sends an angelic messenger to Joseph as well to say, "Do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. She has done absolutely nothing wrong with this result. Rather, this too is from God," the angel says. And Joseph trusts. He believes. He does exactly what he's instructed to do. And they go, just as they are told by the government, to Bethlehem to register. Because Augustus Caesar wanted to know, "Hey, how many people are in my municipalities and such? And how much tax can I get from them? That'd be nice to know." So everybody go to your hometown to register so I can know exactly how many people are in my districts. And they do that. And it all results in an interesting thing where by the time Mary and Joseph get there, they find no place to stay. and God begins his life in flesh in a feeding trough where animals. And it's just intriguing, the whole comedy of the whole thing, in that it's unexpected, in that, of course, one would think if God were being strategic, obviously he'd set up his son for success right from the get-go, right? Let him be born to a king, or at least somebody high up. That would really save a lot of time for garnering people effectively submitting to his authority. To start him off with power and influence and money. Yet God wanted to communicate something very profound. And it wasn't just, see, look what I can do. But this one, this Jesus who was born, was not just for the high and the mighty, not just for the ones who were elites in society, but this Jesus was for everyone. This Word who had become flesh and dwelt among us was for everyone, from the highest to the lowest. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that is the life of men, that all might believe through him. John himself was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So you have Jesus, who is the light, who has come. And he shines out into the darkness. Again, as you reflect upon what is this darkness, I would venture to guess that all of you might have a sense of darkness that you've experienced. For we all have our own struggles with our own darkness of our hearts, our own pride, our own selfishness, or on the other side of that coin, our own insecurities and worries and fears and anxieties. Or maybe it's the darkness of that which is around in the world that you're trying to do the best that you can, and yet everything around you seems to just be beating you down. And the logical response that you want to do in that moment is to just wrap yourself in the biggest blanket that you have and sit on a couch and talk to no one. And whether it's what I've just described or something else, I think all of you know darkness because all of you know sin. The sin that you struggle with, the sin that is inflicted upon you. And there are times in our lives where we feel like the darkness is all that there is. The darkness is one. What more can be done? Everything is overwhelming, and I can't do anything, and oh my goodness, I can't even breathe. And yet you have this beautiful image all throughout Scripture of God who is the light, Jesus who is the light who has come. And the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those who dwell in the land of darkness, a light has come. And the purpose of this light is not to shine forth and say, ah, you are so terrible. But rather to say, I have a better way for you. I have a better life for you. And to those who believed and this light, those who followed this light who is life, they have become the children of God. It's interesting, as Jesus begins his ministry, he goes and he calls some fishermen. Again, the lowest, perhaps, of many workers. He doesn't go and get the religious leaders and say, hey, you heard something about me, you read something about me, come follow me. And who? He takes fishermen. And having garnered a couple of followers, he then goes, and in Matthew's gospel account, it talks about the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus gathers his disciples together and just begins teaching them. He tells them the unexpected nature of the way in which God rules his world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the lowly, those who seem to have nothing. Why? They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? That doesn't sound like a great position to be in. Because they will receive comfort. And he goes on declaring the state, the unexpected nature of the way in which God pours into his world and upsets everything that's the power structure to be. And then he goes on to say, blessed are you when people revile you and curse you and say all kinds of terrible things about you because of me. You are blessed. And to those who are listening, those who believe in this light who has come, who gives life, he says, you are a city on a hill. You are the light of the world. Just like you don't take a light and you cover it. No, you put it up high for everything to see. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, what I'm getting at, what is so astounding about this one who is the light, who brings life, is not only is he doing this, but to those who believe on his name, to those who have been given the right to be called children of God, they themselves now are the light because of what Jesus has done. In other words, what Jesus has done is for you, and at the same time, what Jesus does transforms you. So that you yourselves now are called the light of the world. Because that is the amazing power of the light of Jesus. And so you, who at times might fumble about in darkness, struggling to know what to do next, whether, again, this struggle is because of your own sin and choices and shortcomings and pride and anxieties and all of that, or because you look out at the world and go, I don't know how to respond to this, and you stumble and fall. Know that the light has come. Jesus has come. And he brings you life. He brings you life. And he says, my child, I don't want you to stay in this place of brokenness. You don't have to stay in this place of brokenness. But I ask you to follow me. Believe in my name, Jesus says. And you will be a child of God. You will be the light of the world. You who have been transformed then can go forth to others who are struggling in their own darkness, their own sin. And the light of God, which is in you, can go forth and shine upon them as well. So among other things, that is the truth, the significance of Jesus, God taking on flesh and dwelling among us. One of the most significant things is this that I've been harping on. The light has come. And that's part of, again, why it brings me so much joy to have the candlelight service. At least how I had done it previously, we had nothing against. I like our electric candles. They work well. But we used to start with the Christ candle, and we'd light from there and go on from there and go on from there, and you see the wave of light all originating with one light. Because that's how it's been. Because Jesus is the true light which shined forth. And from his light, he gave that light on to his disciples, who made more disciples, who made more disciples, made more disciples, made more disciples. And God did not keep it only with the Israelites, but said, a light is shining among the Gentiles, of which I know I am one. I imagine many of us in here are. And this was God's will as well, that the light of God, the goodness of God, the life of God might be known, not just by his chosen people, but that all people might come to know the goodness of God and his will for his creation. And so all of you who are here because that word has been passed down to you from generation to generation, generation, all the way down to you. So give thanks this day for what God has done in your life, that you know of the light. Rejoice this day that God has done the unexpected, the unimaginable, the downright crazy sounding of taking on flesh and dwelling among his people. Rejoice that the light has come. Amen. Please stand. Jesus, I thank you that you came down to earth, that you know intimately our struggles, you know intimately what it is to be tempted. Yet you overcame all of that. I thank you that the light has come. I pray that you would shine forth your light both in us and through us, that others might see the things that we do and give glory to you. Pray as well thanksgiving for a successful surgery for Josh Liebman. I pray that you would please continue to be with him as he recovers. All these things we ask in your name, and pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.